Survivors of the high winds, apparently quite the damage in Stanley is the report we're getting. If you're in or around Stanley and you can tell us more, please do on the listener line. It's wide open. It serves as a listener line, a newsmaker line. It can be anything you want it to be. 715-396-1670, 396-1670. We're also asking, what's your favorite Christmas song and who sings it? And Jason Cairns this morning is not in his usual spot. Isn't that correct? Good morning.
That is correct, yes. I am, rather than sitting at my desk in the bedroom, I am sitting in a chair in our living room. I was saying that our dogs were a little out of sorts, and so my puppy is sleeping on my lap in the living room this morning. And, the wind were whipping last night.
That's for sure. Yeah, a lot of noise related to that. We did have, I didn't want to keep it's garbage pickup day, and I didn't want to keep them in front, have it topple over and the garbage go in the street. And right. Lo and behold, they did get knocked over even in the back. So, anyhow. But my very smart wife figured out a way to situate them against the fence so it wouldn't happen again. So, there we go.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. So, let's ask you the question in the morning. And I don't know it. I think I know the answer to it. I don't know who sings it, but what is your favorite Christmas song and why?
Sure, I'd be curious what your guess is.
Oh, Holy Night.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I was actually saying yesterday to my family that I think I could go through the Christmas season just listening to different versions of Oh Holy Night. And I said, but there's one that I must listen to multiple times every Christmas season and have done so already this year, and that's David Phelps' version.
Huh.
And he, part of the Gaither group, and his voice is just so big, and the way he tackles that song, it just builds and builds and builds, and I get chills listening to it. So
I do have the David Phelps version here, although I got to say one of the cooler ones is there was a duo, Jerry Williams and Ed Carr made up the group Harvest, and they have a very memorable Oh Holy Night edition too. So
I might have to check that one out.
Yeah. We'll see how much time we have left. The Harvest one goes 6:18. The David Phelps is 4:46. So we'll see how much time is left at the end of this. You know, I don't know. I mean, I guess what comes to mind for me, is probably some of the classic traditional ones. I mean, Hark the Herald Angels Sing and Joy to the World are both favorites. And I guess I don't have a specific individual in mind. But obviously, Stephen Curtis Chapman is my favorite all-time singer. So anything he sings is great.
Yeah. So he sang a couple of years, or not a couple of years ago, probably at this point 20 years ago now, he had a Christmas album that came out, and there was a song on that album called Going Home for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about his grandmother, I think, dying.
Right.
And shortly after, I had told my mom that I didn't cry at my grandmother's funeral, as close as she was to me. I mean, she was one of the most important people in my life. And I didn't cry at her funeral. And it was later in the year when I was listening to that song, and I just fell apart. And that one still will bring up a lot of emotion for me.
You know, I don't think we're going to get to Letters to the Beloved today because we're just going to talk about this. Yeah, I think it's music and emotion. Yesterday, I'm driving around trying to deliver some little candy jars from One Source Imaging to various customers and listening to some Christian music. And in the midst of that, I was just kind of overwhelmed with a sense of God's kindness. That's what it really, poured out to me. And it felt like a revelatory. Yeah. And I'm just like taking me back to, all the way back to 1983, walking the aisle at the Salvation Army Church and knowing that same kindness, no matter. And I just, thinking as we've talked some recently about the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. I mean, just what a wonderful, and I remember you even read the Allure of Gentleness, I guess, by Dallas Willard. But I mean, kindness gets overlooked as a huge, I mean, Romans 2:4, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. I mean, as his people, we must be, absolutely must be kind, right?
Right. Yeah, the kindness of God leads us to repentance, and people see that most fully through his people.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so much conflict in the world, and if there's an opportunity to show up and be kind to people, and especially those we disagree with, man, what a gift, I think.
So I'm looking at three Christmas songs. Do I go with the Harvest, O Holy Night, the David Phelps, or do I do Stephen Curtis Chapman, Going Home for Christmas? You pick.
Man, I you know, I think you should do Going Home for Christmas.
All right. We'll start the day with Tears here on WWIV. It's Tears for Breakfast.
Thank you, bro.
We're asking you, what's your favorite Christmas song and who sings it? And inviting you to call 715-396-1670 and tell us.
Good morning, Mark. This is Jerome. My most favorite Christmas song is Hallelujah, Jesus Christ the Lord is Born. You did play it, and I was yesterday, and I was so blessed. Thank you. Have a good day.
Third day, Born in Bethlehem. Thank you, Bob. What a great choice there as your favorite Christmas song, as we say good morning to Susan.
Good morning. Manger Throne, Julie Miller.
Very good. Yes.
And O Come All Ye Faithful.
Yeah.
I like that. That's my OG, like, original classic, and then Manger Throne with Julie Miller. I love that
Those
song.
Are great, and we'll get those, and I add those into the mix. We're hearing from Doug in Sand Creek, who says, he's like, O Come All Ye Faithful by Pentatonix. So,
oh, nice.
I had said Joy to the World and Hark the Herald
I
Angels Sing.
I love both of those, too. Yeah.
I said, that's a tie, and, but I like the Avalon, We Are the Reason, which we did play this morning, too.
Right.
So, power went out.
Yeah, power went out. Thank you, baby wipes. You can you can clean up, you know, baby wipes, lipstick, call it good.
Well, and Greg Stewart's here, and he said in Chippewa Falls, the Lake Wissota area, his power went out. So I feel fortunate the north side of Eau Claire, we still had power. So
yeah, you deserve it.
But lots, I mean, our garbage cans got knocked down. I mean, it was, it was strong, wasn't it? It was tough sleeping last
night. It was
awe-inspiring.
Yeah. And I was cruising down the road to work, and all of a sudden, because a huge oak tree was across the road.
Wow.
So I had to go by a different route.
Yeah, it's one of those. If you got stories about the storms, let us know on the listener line. Stanley, a lot of damage. No school today as a result of that.
And yeah, praying for Stanley in the area. We don't even know. And probably you guys don't in Stanley don't even know because it's dark.
I got one picture here, courtesy of WEAU. And yeah, it doesn't look good. Or WSAW, I guess, out of Wausau. But, yeah, the Stanley Police Department reporting extensive damage. And last night, at least, it said do not attempt to travel.
Oh,
so,
man.
Staying on top of that. We got a lot going on, kind of the aftermath of the storm. Susan and then our own Greg Stewart without power. Caleb, how about you? What's the story?
We've got power in Chippewa. I mean, again, I saw, I would say if you are like I am and you just pile into the car and just drive on your way to work or school or whatever, give yourself some extra time because I did see a lot of sticks and branches and things down on the road.
Right.
So,
yeah, that
careful.
Was the case in some of the side streets. Question of the morning, what's your favorite Christmas song and why?
Hi, my favorite Christmas song, my name's Adam from La Crosse, is Joy to the World. When I was little, I grew up in a Lutheran school, and we always had Christmas programs every year, and we dress up nice and go do our recitals in front of all of our family and friends. And then Joy to the World was the last song that we played, and it was like a final feeling of, hey, the stress is over. Let's go enjoy some eggnog that our friend in Michigan never had. So, yeah, it was always fun. I didn't like the eggnog either, but it always felt good to finally be done with that Christmas program and get to enjoy Christmas. So Joy to the World is my favorite. Thanks. Bye.
At the moment, we're helpless. You might as well sit back and enjoy the ride.
I didn't even know there was a cream cheese shortage, but evidently in many parts of the country, Philly cream cheese is not on the shelves, and people are really upset about it.
One of many items we're short
on, right?
Yeah.
So Kraft has decided they will pay you $20 not to make cheesecake for Christmas.
Repeat that, because people are just hearing that. Say that again.
Kraft will pay you $20 not to make cheesecake for Christmas.
Wow.
It's a way to soften the blow of empty cream cheese shelves and to keep customers thinking about Philadelphia cream cheese in a happy way. They don't want people to be frustrated and sour on the brand.
So how does this work?
Well, here's how it works. People interested in this offer of getting $20 can visit a special website set up by Kraft on December 17th and 18th. Up to 18,000 people will be able to nab the right to get reimbursement for whatever other dessert you make. You'll be able to submit your receipt to the company a few weeks later and get $20.
Wow.
I know.
So Kraft is paying for a nice dessert.
Yes. And you were talking about, what do you make with cream cheese?
Oreo balls.
Never it's made them.
Very, very simple because, again, you just put the softened cream cheese and a bunch of Oreos, mint Oreos, peanut butter Oreos, regular Oreos, whatever you want.
What have you.
And yeah, you just mix them all together, blend them all together in your KitchenAid or your hand mixer, whatever you want to do, and then form them into balls, chill them, and then dip them in chocolate.
Sounds fantastic. Fruit pizza. I haven't made it in a long time,
right.
But I like
cream cheese. Cream cheese for that. Yeah. And so... I just think that our listeners need to know that just go pick up a pack if you find it in the store, because who knows when we'll
we'll
and get the 20 bucks too.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
you can have your cream cheese.
Here's what you do though: go get yourself some cheesecakes from Joseph's Cheesecake Cupcakes in Chippewa Falls and charge them to Kraft.
I like that idea.
There you go. So we don't have the website, or people should be able to find that.
I think I would.
It comes out tomorrow.
It comes out tomorrow. I would just Google it. Tomorrow.
All right, a little Christmastown trivia for Mark and Susan this morning. They will be competing against one another. Here's what we have. 9 towns that sound very Christmassy, very much like they are in the holiday spirit.
Gotcha.
Are they real or are they made up? Let's dive right in with this one. Christmas, Florida. Christmas, Florida. Is that a real or a fake Christmastown? And again, some of these sound like they could come right out of a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, I think it's real.
You are both correct.
Yay!
Christmas,
I'm winning.
Florida. All right. North Pole, Alaska. Real or fake Christmas sounding town? North Pole, Alaska.
Fake.
I'm going to say real.
Mark is correct.
There it is.
I'm
North
losing.
Pole, Alaska is.
Let's just stop now.
Yes. How about Santa Claus, Indiana?
Wow.
Santa Claus, Indiana.
Wow.
Real or fake Christmas town?
Real. I do not think so.
Susan?
Well, if the guy who's winning doesn't think it's real, I don't think it's real.
You're both wrong. It's real.
It's real!
That was your chance to gain ground.
Christmas Town's quiz here in the Wib Wake Up Show. A few more. Santa Claus, Georgia. We just said Santa Claus, Indiana was real. Santa Claus, Georgia, real or fake Christmas Town?
I don't think it would be real. No.
This is like the logic in Princess Bride. On the one hand, if they can do it in Indiana, they can do it in Georgia. But I think you're tricking me. I say no.
You're both wrong again. Santa Claus, Georgia is real.
Okay. Right. I'm starting to... So far, it's been 4 reels. They've all been real. Okay.
Christmas Town's quiz. Jingle Bell, South Dakota. Jingle Bell, South Dakota. Is that a real or a fake Christmas
I'm
Town?
I'm going to say it's real.
I am, too.
You're both wrong. That one's made up.
Oh, man. I'm just going to play this buzzer all day here.
How about Snowstorm, Alaska? A few more. Snowstorm, Alaska. Real or fake?
Fake. Right.
Christmas Town.
I'm going to split. My logic had been that they must all be real until
yeah,
last
that's
one.
That's what I thought, too.
When he dumped us. So, give me that again.
Snowstorm, Alaska.
It sure sounds real. Sure, I'm going to say yeah.
Mark says it's real. Susan says...
It's fake.
Susan is correct.
Yeah, we're
Snowstorm,
nice.
Alaska. All right, so you're tied
go,
at
Susan.
Two apiece.
Yeah.
All right, just a few more here.
Okay.
3 more.
It says tied at two apiece, but there's been a lot more than
I'm
two
cheating.
Questions.
I'm secretly
Town's
praying.
Quiz.
Okay.
Real or fake? Snowflake, Arizona. Snowflake,
ooh,
Arizona.
Like
again,
where
they're
millennials
talking.
Live.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's absolutely
I was about
real.
To make that joke, too.
Real. I do believe it.
Snowflake, Arizona. Mark
okay,
says real. Susan?
I think it's real.
You are both correct.
Yay!
Another point for you both. Yes, Snowflake, Arizona. 2 more. Noel, Missouri. Noel, Missouri, as in
Noel.
The first. Noel, Missouri,
Noel.
Real or fake
there
Christmas Town?
There is Noel in Missouri, so I'm going to say it's real.
You're going to say it's real, Mark? You say it's real as well?
It's not so wild sounding, sure.
You are both correct.
Yes.
Getting strong here at the end. Yes. Real or fake Christmas Towns. 1 more, and it comes from our fair Badger states.
Yes.
Rudolph, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Real or fake
no,
Christmas Town?
No, shoot, it's
Rudolph,
Randolph,
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. There's Randolph, but is there a Rudolph?
Yeah.
Yes.
But it comes down to this.
And this is the thing. If you guys differ, one says real, one says fake, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose.
I'm going to say real.
Mark says real. Susan says
fake.
Mark is correct. Mark wins. Rudolph, Wisconsin, by a single point.
Congratulations, Mark.
I am the champion. No time for losers, because I am the champion.
Thank you for playing.
Oh, no way.
Nothing like you.
My real or fake Christmas Towns quiz. Johnny, tell them what they've won.
Yeah, not a whole
They get
lot.
To work with Caleb for another hour and 8 minutes.
Yay.
There you go.
Well, we've got a feel-good story this morning.
We do. This is the story of an Uber driver who went above and beyond. Picture this. It's March 2020, pandemic, right? 88-year-old Paul Webb calls an Uber because he has some dementia, also a stroke, unable to drive. Calls an Uber, gets Jenny Teklitsen. She picked him up in her gray Toyota RAV4. They started chit-chatting. She, 52-year-old Uber driver Teklitsen, said she could tell how lonely Webb was. And she told him she lived nearby and told him, from now on, when you need a ride, just call me. I'll take care of you. Webb took her up on her offer. She began driving him to do various errands. Then she began stopping by just to check on him. Eventually, the pair began going out to eat every day. And now she's his caretaker.
Wow. I mean, and again, there's a 36-year age gap between these two friends. But so many times we think, well, we need to have our friend group be people who look like us or vote like us or at least similar to our age or whatever. But she just said, hey, here's someone who needs a friend. And she was one.
And even when you say that, right, I mean, that Jesus clearly said we are to go beyond that. And even the Good Samaritan story, right? I mean, you're just living your life. And there's a person. And as life happens, who knows who could become. So that, what a wonderful story.
Well, can I just add, the story doesn't end there. Because if you want to know a little bit more about her, Teklitsen, who drives for Uber in her spare time to earn additional money to send to an orphanage in Ethiopia.
Wow.
Her home country where she emigrated from. So I think the creativity on how to get extra money to send to an orphanage, then she's scanning the horizon looking for people to be kind to. What a great example.
I mean, so many times, right, don't we, I know I have this tendency, it's eyes down, what do I need to do? What do I need to accomplish? What's on my list? What boxes can I check off? But when you have your eyes up, when you're scanning and saying, who can I minister to today? And so many times, ministry is smiling at someone when you're across from them in the aisle, the busy aisle in Walmart or the gas pump or whatever it is. It can be something as simple as that. But whose day can you make today?
Yeah. And I love, Mark, you bringing up the Good Samaritan. She could tell how lonely he was.
Yeah.
And she did not turn the other way.
The Beatles, All the Lonely People, and so we can make a difference, and I'm with you on smiles. I told my daughter, Elena, as we drove home from dance the other night, I'm like, you have a beautiful smile. I mean, it's just like, you know, Dad, in school, I'm not seeing a lot of kids smiling. So, aww. I mean, there you go. Absolutely. A smile can make somebody's day.
Well, a new report about a new robot, or at least a robot that learns a new skill. This is from New Scientist. I don't know. Do you guys subscribe?
No.
Neither do I.
Mine ran out, so I just didn't renew it.
Researchers at the University of Tübingen in Germany used an algorithm to teach a robotic arm to play ping pong.
Wow.
What? Why do we want to invent things that are going to make us look bad?
I wouldn't want to play. I mean, a robot, like, the consistency would be amazing, right?
This is what's crazy about it, though. It only took the robotic arm 90 minutes, just an hour and a half, to learn how to play the game of ping pong through both virtual and physical training. A combination of two cameras and an algorithm that was used with trial and error to calculate the position of the back and the racket is what allowed the robot to learn the game. One of the researchers said the robot skills were already on par with his own. And I'm just thinking of Forrest Gump, like, just, you know, fold up half the ping pong table. But the robot apparently learned much faster.
That's a little scary and impressive.
Well, I mean, we're always afraid of robots taking over the world, right? Like Terminator and all this stuff, too, and artificial intelligence, and it's learning. I mean, you saw that, like, that was the plot of the whole Matrix movies, I think. But it seems a little more harmless that they're just going to play ping pong.
Yeah, right.
Oh, sure. It seems harmless.
Seems harmless. Seems harmless.
I think the guy who invented this just wanted to get better at his own ping pong
and
game.
Needed a friend.
Yeah, and needed
a
friend.
So made a robotic arm and trained it to play.
And pretty soon this robot's going to play both sides of the game. And then, I don't know, guys. Careful. Careful.
Be careful who you face in ping pong, that's for sure. I remember, fond memories for me, I remember we had a ping pong table in our house, but the growing up, and I remember playing my dad, but the walls were so close, there was not much room for going back at all. So just realize that or else... You know, boom, right into the wall, you go.
I think so many people, though, are saying, why would you spend the time and energy to teach it to play ping pong? Teach it to fold laundry.
Yes.
That'll be a useful skill.
Vacuum, dust.
Robots, we have uses for you.
Wrap presents.
That's so smart.